Good morning. This is Scott Mitchell with Let the Bible Speak. And we are here this morning with Shannon Schaefer again for the second time to talk about the Bible and then how we need to treat it. And I have some introductory things I'm supposed to say, so I'm going to go back on my screen. First of all, I work with the church at El Bethel, if you've not listened before, just down the road from the high school. And I've been there almost exactly a year, and we are trying to study the Bible for what it is, and that's just the mind of God revealed to us, and treat it that way. And we don't use any handbooks, any creeds, any confessions of faith. We just read the Bible and try to do that to the very best of our ability. And so what we're trying to do this morning is just introduce topics, and each morning introduce topics that are of interest. We've talked about a lot of things. Today we're going to talk about whether we can understand the Bible when we read it or not. And so that's what we're going to be working on. And before I begin, though, we need to talk about some housekeeping things, I guess. First of all, on May 18th at 7 o'clock, we at El Bethel are going to be hosting a singing, and everyone is invited to that. There'll be singing, and John Bingham, who is from a church in Louisville, is going to do a short talk about God's Word. But anyway, that'll be a good opportunity for you to come visit with us. Number here, if you want to call in, is 812-365-9864. 812-365-9864. We also have a live chat open. It's scottmitchell.radio12345.com. That's scottmitchell.radio12345.com. That's a live chat. You can type in questions there, and someone is here monitoring that. Theron Hall has also set up a website. It's http://letthebiblespeak.faith. And there's a Facebook link on there. There's a link to the listen to my radio. There are also past talks posted on there. You can download those and listen to those there. So those are all the things we've got going on. Before I begin, Theron Hall's been here a lot helping us do different things, and I wanted to talk about something that happened a few years ago, just to kind of let you know why I trust him so much. His son Isaac was in a Bible class with me and a guy named David McPherson a few years ago, when we were talking to the kids about different things and how to look up to people, and David had asked those kids to basically list a hero that they looked up to. And so what we're going around the room, and Isaac is like, he has this kind of engineery face he gets on because that's kind of what he is. And he says, I got to say my dad. And he went on to explain that Theron is trying to be everything that God wants a man to be, and that's what he looked to as a hero. Just so you know, there's hope for our young people. They don't just look for people that can dunk a basketball, which is cool, but I can't do that, and things like that. But to look to the character of a person, and that's really what we need to be doing anyway. I just wanted to tell that, let you know the background there a little bit. Shannon Schaefer is here again. I'll let him introduce himself again. It's been a few weeks. I think this is our sixth show. Is that right?
Yep.
And so I'll let Shannon re-explain who he is in case there are new listeners.
Well, good morning, Scott. So glad to be with you again. Appreciate the invitation to be with you. We're just glad to come and study the Bible. I don't have much to tell about myself necessarily. We've just simply been studying the Bible most of our life, and just simply in the last 28 years or so been seeking to teach God's Word and preaching wherever we have the opportunity. And so we're glad we can be with you this morning and encourage and help this work to continue on.
Well, thank you. Again, what we're going to talk about today, if we can do this in an effective manner, is whether we can just pick the Bible up and read it and understand it. And the argument, and I'll read a couple of lines here to try to maybe explain where the argument comes from, whether we can or not. And this is from a website, and I will leave the denomination out best I can. I'm not here to be divisive. I'm not here to cause fights and pick fights. That's not purposeful. So this is what this quote says. It says, "We believe that God has given the teaching of authority, that is the magisterium, to the leaders of the church in order to teach faith and morals infallibly." All right? Then it says, Protestants tend to believe that this grant of correct interpretation is given to all through the Holy Spirit. And so what, and even there are some who say, well, there's no point in me reading the Bible. I can't understand it anyway. And I don't know if this is totally where that comes from, or if they just doubt their ability to read and understand, which goes, we can get into God's ability to communicate with who he has created some too. I guess I've got a book here by Doy Moyer on, it's called, I just lost the title, Shannon. Hold on a minute. Anyway, I'll get the title in a minute. Mind Your King is the name of the book. But in that book, he's got a chapter on communication, how God communicates, and we can maybe talk about that a little bit as well as we go. So we were talking before about where to start with this, and we really weren't sure. There are so many verses we can talk about. So let me talk about one thing with Shannon for a minute. And one of the other quotes, and this is a problem for me that we need to address, because that verse is misused. Because I looked at different versions, and every time the guy used the verse wrong. I want to make sure I read it correctly. Okay, what he says is, each member of their faith is free to interpret Scripture within the light of the teaching of the church. That's one problem. But, I've got the right here in front. Oh, here it is. Given that the Bible itself says that no Scripture is a matter of private interpretation, I would hope that no Christian would say that they interpret the Bible for themselves. Now, here's my problem with that verse. And that actually comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. When you turn over there, it doesn't say that Scripture is not open to interpretation. So let's go over there, and I've laid my Bible down. Here it is. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's read this and see what it actually says. Because this is the problem we have. So many times is people take a verse out of context or say and change one word and change the meaning of it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Says, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy... Now notice he said Scripture, but no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's interpretation. No prophecy is ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The context is talking about the prophets and the prophecies they gave. It's not talking about every word. When he talks about the prophets, he's talking about how they were guided by the Spirit and how we got even how we got God's word. It says it's inspired by God, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. So we can't say that we can't understand it, it's not open to interpretation. When you talk about what they wrote, is what they wrote. That's what that means. That we can't say, here's what I said at El Bethel when I first started. I said, here are two things I can't say if I'm going to be here. I can never hear, I know what the Bible says, but. Or that's not the way we've always done things. We can never say, I know what the Bible says, but that's not what it means. That's what this verse is saying. We can't say, yeah, that's what the Bible says, but that's not what those prophets meant. Yes, they did, because they were led by God. And so we can't pull that Scripture out like that and try to make it mean something that doesn't mean. Shannon, you have anything you want to add to that? I just wanted to throw that out there and kind of get the ball rolling. So,
yeah. Well, in this context, Peter 2, if you back up even all the way to verse 16, he says, for we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So Peter says, we saw what we're writing to you about, and we didn't sit down, Peter and the other writers, sit down and say, well, here's what we want people to believe, or here's the scheme or the story we want them to know. He says, the fact is, we got these things from God, as you said, Scott. And that is a process of what oftentimes for a big word or fancy word is inspiration. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so when he comes down there within that context in verse 19 and 20, he says, we have the prophetic word made fully confirmed. That would have been the words of the prophets in the Old Testament. And he says, you need to pay attention to it. You do well to pay attention to it. And verse 20, he says, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. In other words, again, back to verse 16, we didn't make this up. We didn't decide what it was going to say. And verse 21, once again, the fact is, it's not by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along or moved by the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit from God gave them the words to say, gave them and moved them to say, and even as Peter writes these things, inspired him to speak these things.
Yeah. Now here, I guess here is, we've talked a lot about balance on this show. We have to find a balance somewhere between when Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, 13 and 14, he says, He says, for we are not writing to you anything other than what you read and understand, and I hope you will fully understand. We've got to find some balance between that idea and whether when we read, we have to have some kind of spiritual intervention to understand what we're reading. There has to be some balance between those two extremes, just like faith and works. And Dan Langford mentioned last week, somebody said there's no two bigger differences in the world than faith and works. Well, no, they're not. They go hand in hand. Our faith causes our works. It causes us to do because we want to do for God. And so in this situation, when we're reading and if somebody's out there and they're thinking, well, what's the point of picking up the Bible? I can't understand it anyway. So we have to help them understand they can understand it, and they can ask for help in things that they don't understand, which we're going to look at the Ethiopian eunuch and eunuch in a little bit to understand that. But when I first started studying the Bible, I don't know that there's anybody that knew less about the Bible than I did. Never read one, so I think that's about as ignorant as you can get. And so we've got to figure out then how to balance these two concepts, and that's what we're trying to do today. And so if you're just tuning in, this is Scott Mitchell with Let the Bible Speak, and we're discussing whether or not we can read the Bible and understand it on our own or without somebody who's been selected by a group as the expert to teach us, or whether we can just read it and understand it and ask for help as we need. So, Shannon, you've opened up to Galatians there, which
just going to say, to start with, I mean, let's be honest, this is an intimidating book. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you sit back and you say, well, look how big that book is, and in fact, it's not just one book, but it's a book of books. There's 66 books in our compiled together in our Bibles. And so we start reading in one place and it says one thing and you say, I don't know what in the world that means. And you open to another page, you say, well, I'm not sure what that means either. So it can be very intimidating. Mm-hmm. And when you listen to some guys on the radio, these guys anyway, are not saying to you, well, I can't believe you don't understand it.
No.
Now, there's no pride in our determination that, well, we've got it figured out and you surely ought to be able to.
Mm-hmm.
Our desire is just simply to help and to take those things and to try to do what we can. And so anytime you wanted to call this program or anytime you wanted to call Scott, I know he'd love to sit down and study those things.
Yep. Absolutely.
With you. And so it's just interesting as Paul writes to the book of Galatians. In your New Testament, we have Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, all kind of grouped together there. But the book of Galatians, these were churches that were in an area called Galatia in the New Testament. And he writes these things to these folks. And he says that he is revealing to them or telling them things that they needed to know and these things that they certainly needed to understand. And they could understand these things to such an extent that, and the reason he's revealing these things, he says, is not to be able just simply to tell them what he knew and that they could never understand themselves. And so Paul wants to write these things to them. And in verse 6 of Galatians 1, what the Galatians had heard was things revealed by God through Paul. He's an apostle. Mm-hmm. And he says in verse 6, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. That almost in some ways That sounds amazing. What did Paul speak things to them, or we might put it in the form of writing things? Did they take all of what Paul had written and just thrown it out for something totally different? Verse 7, he says, not that there is another one or another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. So it's not that they had totally thrown out what Paul had said before, but they're just changing some things. They're just changing some things and saying, well, I know maybe from the phrase that was mentioned earlier, I know that's what Paul said, but here's what I think about it. Here's what it really ought to mean. And Paul says that's a dangerous concept, or that's a dangerous attitude to have, because he says in verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what one we preach to you, let him be accursed. And so he says we need to be very careful about taking God's word, words that are revealed by his writers, those writers in the New Testament and those writers even in the Old Testament, and taking them and just simply altering a little bit here what we want and changing, maybe taking some things out. I've heard people tell accounts of folks who they don't like certain things in the Bible, so it's kind of like what would be described as a penknife religion. They'll take a little penknife maybe and cut that out. I've even talked to a brother at one time, and he said, when someone said, as they were talking about, they said, well, that's not in my Bible. He said, what do you mean it's not in your Bible? It said, no, it's not. And they lifted up the page, and they'd actually taken a little razor penknife and cut that verse out because they didn't like it. It didn't say what they wanted it to say. So we need to be very careful, even if we don't take that, don't do that literally, that we don't do that as an individual. And so in verse 10, he says, for am I now seeking the approval of man or God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. And so, who are we trying to please? Well, we need to be, our dedication needs to be pleasing God and understanding what he wants us to know from his word.
And how in the world do we do that? It's funny you just said that, because I just opened this book of Doy Moyer's, and it talks about communication.
Yeah.
And how communication works. And if we believe that God is God, and I do believe he is, he is who he claims to be, then I have to believe he can communicate clearly with what he's created.
Sure.
And that if he says for us to read and understand and to study to show ourselves approved, and Christ said, if you abide in my word, you'll know the truth, I believe he's able to communicate with us in a way we can understand. And so we have to trust, first of all, that God is God and that he does want us to know what he wants us to know,
right,
to be pleasing
exactly
to him. And so once we figure that out, then we can start reading. And we'll go to Acts chapter 8 in a minute and look at the Ethiopian eunuch. But God communicates with us the same way we communicate with each other.
Yes.
He either tells us, he shows us, or he makes an implication.
Yeah.
And the same way that we do. You know, if I tell my son, you need to go to the store, I'm going to give you $5, go to the Dollar General, I need you to get some milk and bread, and come back home.
Yeah.
And you know I don't like that brown bread. So he goes. I didn't tell him not to buy the brown bread, but I implied. If we can communicate that with one another, why can't we trust that God can communicate with us?
Yeah.
And I just think we need to do that, Chair.
Well, you know, he probably had a little left over from that $5, so you didn't tell him. You know, he comes home, he's got a candy bar. And
well,
you said, well, I didn't tell you to get a candy bar. You know, we've got plenty of things around the house for you to eat. You said, well, you didn't say not to. I'm afraid sometimes folks we could do that ourselves. Well, God didn't say not to. But what did he say for us to do in his word?
You know, and it's interesting when we use the phrase, speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible's silent. It's easier, and this is getting a little bit of the last couple of weeks' topic, is it's easier for people, I think, to speak where the Bible speaks than it is to shut up where the Bible doesn't say anything. You know, that's when you get into, well, it doesn't say not to, so it's got to be okay.
Sure.
That gets into Bible authority, which I talked about on the first show, which we probably ought to go back and revisit at some point, that we don't add to the word, we don't take away from it. Which, if all those things are said to us, we should be able to read the book and figure out what God wants for us on our own to some degree. And if we need help, that we know people. Let's go to Acts chapter 8 and look at this account, beginning in verse 26. with the Ethiopian eunuch and see what happens here and how he came to understand the truth. And we'll talk about different aspects of his personality that enabled this to happen as we go through this. Verse 26 says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And this is a desert place. And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, well, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this, like a sheep that was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this about himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. So let's talk about, we were talking a little bit about this gentleman before. What do we want to say about his character and what allowed all these things to take place?
Well, one of the things you commend the eunuch for is just that his desire was to come and worship God. Mm-hmm. And if you have the desire that you want to, just want to serve God and want to, you know, come over to El Bethel with Scott and those folks and just simply come together to worship God, you're going to open your Bible and Scott's going to talk about it and you're going to read from your Bible. And maybe as we just pause there, have the attitude that the eunuch had. And maybe the very first thing I'd encourage you to do before you pick up your Bible is pray. Ask God to help you to understand. Certainly include God in that process because it's His Word. He wants you to understand. And surely, if we're going to talk about what Peter talked about, the scripture we mentioned earlier in 2 Peter chapter 1, include God and ask Him to help you understand. And the eunuch had that attitude. He wanted somebody to help him understand. And if you have that attitude, that's the best attitude to have. I want to serve God, just like the eunuch wanted to come and worship him. Mm-hmm. And I want to understand his word that I have here in my hands.
Yeah. And, you know, this, for me, coming from this very ignorant, not stupid, you know, stupidity is permanent, ignorance temporary, from this ignorant background, as I learned, I wanted to study more, and as I learned more, I studied more. It's kind of interesting. It's kind of like you pray like it depends on God and work like it depends on you, kind of concept. So, as we're studying, we pray for wisdom and understanding, and we study and we learn that the Bible, like I did eventually after I don't know several years of being a Christian, that the Bible isn't a bunch of separate stories; it's one big story. And then it makes it at least seem a little smaller. How does the Old Testament then connect to the New Testament? We start drawing those lines and connecting those dots, and it starts making more sense to us. And then we start learning. This isn't this instantaneous flow of info into our brain. We have to read the Bible, and we have to understand it. But God allows us to, be honest with you, and we talk about God's grace. You know, the fact that God allows us the opportunity to read His Word and know His mind, that's grace. The allowing us the chance to the obedience is grace.
It is.
And so it's really cool to think about that aspect of God. So anyway, Ed, you want to add something else in there?
Well, just talking about connecting the Old Testament to the New Testament, when Philip runs up, it says in verse 30, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And of course, the way our Bibles were put together, we go back and we find that the passage he's reading, what we would refer to as Isaiah 53. And so if you ever read Isaiah the prophet, and maybe you've read through chapter 53, and you say, well, what all is that talking about? Well, here Philip explains that that's talking about Jesus. And if we need a little bit of guidance to understand that, we can read from these things, passages in the New Testament, to tell us about what Jesus did and how he fulfilled that prophecy from Isaiah. and you make that connection, if you will, to the big picture of the salvation of man that the Bible talks about. Mm-hmm.
So. Very good. And it is. It's just, it becomes, as we learn more, it becomes a smaller book in terms of that. Because it was really intimidating.
Yes.
But as we learn, like anything else, as we learn more, we're going to get better at it. And just God gives us time to do that. And that's what's really cool about this. So let's get back to this situation. So what was it, this desire of this Ethiopian to worship God? And his desire to know the truth. So when somebody came to him and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He didn't say, "Well, it's none of your business." He didn't say, "I can do this. I got this. Just leave me alone." He didn't say that. What did he say?
"How can I unless someone guides me?"
There's nothing wrong with asking somebody to help. Now, that, and the people at Bethel know, preacher man's not always right. So that's why God gave us the Bible. Excuse me, I'm going to get a drink here. So if somebody does teach us something, we can look at a verse in Acts 17, if we want to, about people that went, what they were taught. They went and searched the scriptures to make sure what they were taught was correct.
Sure.
Well, that makes sense. Well, if they couldn't understand the Bible, how could they go and check the scripture to make sure what they were taught was correct?
Yeah.
That makes the Bible a liar itself if they couldn't do that.
If they couldn't do that. Yeah, and one of the things, you know, there are several things that is a challenge with the communication, the technological age we have. But one of the things, as I preach, one of the things I miss that I always like to hear while I was preaching is pages turning.
Yeah.
Pages in people's Bibles that are turning. Because what that told me was, is somebody out there is listening, and somebody's, mm-hmm. and people are checking to make sure what I say is true according to the Bible. They're checking to make sure they can read it and find it themselves, and they're checking to make sure they understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of miss that. I've even joked and said, you know, I'm going to make a sound app that goes along, connects to your Bible app on your phone, and whenever you turn to another passage, it's going to make this page turning sound.
Yeah. Yeah. He has said that. I've heard it. In Ephesians 1, this idea of just believing and hearing and understanding, it says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." So there's an example of people simply hearing the word, believing it and understanding it, and making application.
That's right.
And that's what this Ethiopian is going to do as we get through this passage over here. So let's see here, where were we? Oh yeah, his desire to know the truth and accepting help.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with that.
Not at all. And the eunuch, when he asked Philip to come and to join him, verse 35 says, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus." Well, Isaiah 53 never uses the name Jesus in it. But Philip knew exactly who it was talking about, and Philip used that for the opportunity to tell him the most important thing the eunuch needed to know, and the most important person he needed to know about, and that was Jesus. And so he does that on this occasion. So,
and just, I'm supposed to do this about every 10 minutes, and sometimes I forget. If you just tuned in, this is Scott Mitchell with a program called Let the Bible Speak. If you want to call in and correct me or Shannon or disagree or agree or help us in any way, number is 812-365-9864, 812-365-9864. I just got to remember to throw that in every once in a while. So I appreciate your all's patience in this. So he gets up in the chair with this guy and they read. And so what happens?
Well, he talks to him about Jesus, and it doesn't tell us everything Philip says, for one thing. We know he's talking about the good news about Jesus, and he starts in Isaiah 53. It starts in probably a scroll that the eunuch had of Isaiah. And verse 36, it says, "As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?'" Mm-hmm. Well, even though we know we don't have the whole story, why in the world did he get that idea that he needed to be baptized? Mm-hmm. Well, something the eunuch had said about what beginning in Isaiah 53 and then continuing to tell him other things gave the eunuch the understanding that there was a need for that.
So here's my question, and we'll go to 2 Timothy 2, verse 2 here in a minute, and probably look at this, but what role did the Spirit play in this relationship between Philip and the eunuch?
Well, for one, I mean, obviously he had told Philip to go join the chariot, go up to the man.
Right.
So I guess I would take from that and maybe just say that what we need to, as we start out praying, asking God for understanding, asking to be able to know what His Word is, to depend on God to give us the opportunity. And I think He'll do that. I really believe that's illustrated in a lot of places in the Bible.
So did the Spirit do the teaching?
I think He did.
And it's interesting, when we look, he sent Philip, but what we have in God's Word is the Spirit giving us God's mind.
Yes.
And so this, it's interesting, when we study the Word itself, that's given us by the Holy Spirit,
yes,
the revealed mind of God. But He allowed this Philip to teach this Ethiopian. He didn't do it himself. I mean, it's just a very interesting relationship. He sends somebody to teach somebody else, but He's given them what they need to teach that person.
He is.
It's really cool.
I guess to think about your written scriptures this way, think mm-hmm. about the Bible this way. If you're asking God to help you understand, He's sending who you're reading. He's sending the Bible and sending, mm-hmm. say we pick up and we start reading what Peter has to say, or we pick up our New Testament and we start reading what Paul has to say, whether it's in Romans or Ephesians, and we ask, you know, we want to understand. He's giving one who has the Spirit that's inspired them to write those things down and to teach and to preach those things. One place I was thinking of was Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, Paul kind of deals with this idea. In verse 13, he says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." You say, "Well, how does that happen? How's that occur?" Verse 14, "How then will they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in Him in whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" And that's exactly the process you see with Philip and the eunuch. You know, how was he going to call on Jesus and call on the Lord if he had not believed in Him? And how was he even going to know who He was, reading from Isaiah 53? And how was he going to understand that? Because Philip comes and tells him
mm-hmm.
the gospel about Jesus Christ, starting in Isaiah 53. In verse 15 of Romans 10, he says, "How are they to preach unless they are sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says," interestingly, "Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?" So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ or the word of God. How are you going to hear from those things to know who Jesus is and what to believe in and who to believe in? Because God has provided two major things. He's provided His word that we can read, and He does provide teachers. There's something to be cautious about there. Surely the New Testament, as well as other places, talks about there's a whole lot of people who want to teach. We better make sure they're teaching what's right.
Yeah.
Turn your pages and make sure it's the same thing the Bible says. But Paul says you've got those two things working together, persons and the Word that's written down.
And when you go to Second Timothy 2, verse 2 for that very reason. Verse 1, he says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others." So we teach people so they can teach people so they can teach people.
Yeah.
And they can teach people, and it just keeps going. And I just looked over at Shannon's computer screen, and he has the word preach or preaching highlighted in yellow about, I don't know, looks like about 10,000 times, not really, just a bunch. So I'm sure he wants to talk about that to some degree as far as what the purpose of that preaching is. And so since I looked over there and saw all those, Shannon, you want to talk about some of those verses? I don't want to hinder I've got lots of verses too, but yours are probably better than mine.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. But it just, I was just looking up for, I was looking for the passage there again in Romans chapter 10 at the time, I think, when I typed that in. But you notice that Paul understands the connection or the correlation mm-hmm. between, and of course, at that time, as Paul and Peter are preaching and teaching, they didn't have big, they didn't have all the Bible written down and weren't carrying their Bibles around preaching from it. They were preaching the things that they were inspired to teach and to preach by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe that begs an interesting question. Well, what about today? Aren't our preachers and teachers, aren't they getting from God inspired by the things that they need to say? Well, the scriptures just simply tell us that that's not the case. That's simply there is something different because we have the written word of God. We have that which is able to do the very thing we want. And mm-hmm. we're not looking to preachers who will be able to. I know you've talked about this passage before. The fact is that Paul tells Timothy, one older preacher, I guess, to one younger preacher, about the things that he's going to go out and to preach and to teach. And what is it that he wants him to teach? Well, he wants him to teach things that have to do with God's Word. And now that we don't have Paul walking around and Peter walking around and Timothy, we're not looking to, I don't know about you, but I'm not looking for people that are inspired by God to teach, because unfortunately, too many times I've heard too many different ones that have that claim or give that claim, and unfortunately they teach things that are just totally opposite sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that makes people, quite honestly, that makes people discouraged about looking at their Bibles. But when Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, in verses 16 and 17, he says, "All Scripture is God-breathed or breathed out by God, and profitable mm-hmm. for several things. Profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work."
Let me ask you a question. You brought some, I hadn't even thought about this. It's not in my notes, so this is off the cuff. You just mentioned people teaching something contrary to what's in the Bible. I've heard people make the comment to me, "Well, how can we know what the truth is? Why bother? There are so many people teaching different things. How do we know what the truth is?" It's a legitimate question.
It is.
And I hope when they're asking that they're wanting a sincere answer and not just saying, "Well, you're right, we really can't know." We can know. So you go back to Galatians 1, which you read earlier. He said, "I'm surprised you're departing from the gospel you received to another gospel," which really isn't another gospel. It's a lie, is what it is. And so you just read 2 Timothy 3, and we've used these verses a lot. But I think they're worth using. If the scripture is inspired, Jesus says, again, I've used this one probably every week, John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus simply says, "If you abide in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Yeah. John 14, verse 15, if you, basically, "You are my friend if you keep my commandments." John 15, 14 says the same thing. Luke 6, 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" So if there, in Ephesians 4, there's one truth. So with all those things, that's Ephesians 4, 4 beginning there, we need to read. But if that's true, then we have a responsibility on our own, like those Bereans in Acts 17 who searched the scriptures daily, to do that. God's given us the ability to anybody. Here's what anybody out there can pick up the Bible and understand the words. If you can read.
Yeah.
That, I mean, anybody. Now, are there deeper understand? As we study more, will we understand better? You know, yes. I mean, it's got the same punctuation marks that, Harry Potter has in it. I mean, it's nothing or anything like it. It's, you can pick the Bible up and read it and comprehend what it says. What you do with it and how you try to apply it is what makes it understandable or not. So let's talk a minute about a spiritually minded person versus a worldly minded person and those different, what we call them, worldviews, and how that will affect our thinking about the Bible.
Yeah. And you've got a couple of verses, I think, on that. Let me maybe just mention as we're going to talk about that, I have to have the type of, I guess, dependence on God I don't know what your concept of God is or who God is, but I depend that God is powerful enough, that God is able enough to be able to provide to me that truth that Jesus talks about. And I think he has done that. He's provided it in our scriptures in the Bible and given me that. But like you say, you know, once I take that and seek to understand it, again, do I want to gain a light and understanding from it?
Faraday, do you have anything you want to add to this?
Yeah, if you don't mind. I was thinking about your comment about, you know, you can go to the scriptures and you can understand the fundamentals of what it takes to be pleasing to God. And I think everybody who's honest with the scriptures can do that. And over 20 years ago, and we talked about this when I was on Scott, that kind of our start of coming to terms with the Bible and who God is and the message of love and what that's all about. My wife and I ended up in Tucson, Arizona, and that's where I kind of came full cycle. I got to the point where I really understood what I needed to do. And it was in Tucson where I was baptized, was immersed in the Lord for the forgiveness of my sins. And while I was there, there was a gentleman who had a real Bible education. I mean, he was really rooted. We once had a class where we sat and we studied his translation of Galatians, okay? He went back to the Greek and translated. So I have a lot of respect for this guy. I mean, I'll just say David was his first name. And he told me something that really stuck with me. And what's funny is, after over 20 years, it's had new depth as I've thought about it. He said, you know, the Bible is shallow enough that a child can wade in it. But it's deep enough that an elephant can drown in it.
Okay.
And it sounds humorous, but I think there's a lot of truth to what he said. Yeah. And I think it helps us come to terms with, you know what, there are some things in the passages that challenge us, but we have everything we need. And I think we need to be honest with ourselves and not let a few challenging verses stop us or freeze us in our faith, because there's so much there to energize us and tell us, hey, what is it we need to do?
Yeah.
I don't think there's really much doubt about it if we're truly honest with what the scriptures say.
That's good. Yep.
Thank you, Theron. I'm going to read something, and we need to understand, well, this idea of being worldly minded versus being kind of carnally minded. And you go to John 3:20. I'll go there real quick and look at that. But this is talking about the light coming into the world and the darkness not wanting to deal with it. John 3:20 says, "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed." And I think that's probably, with people, the biggest hindrance to understanding the Bible. It's not that they can't. I think they can, and they don't want to.
Sure.
And I don't mean that. Not that there aren't things that there are. I'm going to read a verse in a minute. I'm going to have to kind of process through with Shannon to kind of really understand what it's saying. I'm not saying that we can understand everything instantly. I'm saying when the light shines on our sin, and you know, we aren't supposed to say sin in our society because we don't want to offend people. But when the light shines on our sin and we don't want to deal with it, well, of course we don't want to understand it. And that becomes difficult for us. So I think that's a hindrance for people, because they just don't want to deal with the truth of what God wants from them. And you think that's feeding into this, or you think I'm oversimplifying, Shannon, or do you think that's...
No, I think that's exactly right. It means, when you read God's word, it means change for me. And I, just as people in general, we don't like change. Everyone, whatever area or particular area, there's probably certain areas of our life, I don't want change. I don't want to change that. It seems to work fine for me. It seems well enough for me. And if I change it, it might get worse, or I change it, it might mean something I'm uncomfortable with.
Yeah.
And so the Bible just simply is about a change. It's a change, you know, as the eunuch is riding along in his chariot with Philip, talking to him about who Jesus is, and if he believes in Jesus, and what's Jesus going to expect of his life, of the eunuch's life. That meant the eunuch had a choice. God has always given us and always left with us a free will to decide, will I listen to God and will I do the things he wants me to do and change the things he wants me to change or not? And the eunuch was obviously a man of a type of character and desire that when he rolls along and he sees the volume and enough water, he was determined to go and say, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? I'm willing to change whatever I need to change in order to serve God."
I had some notes that I didn't read to start with because I wasn't sure if I wanted to, but since you talking about change, I think I kind of have to. And not that this, as a school teacher and as an just an observer of my family members and different things going on, this past week I've just seen so much turmoil and strife and conflict in people's lives that it saddens me. Man, and there's this quote, but for the grace of God go I. And there is nothing in my life that prevented me from going down that same path, except somebody said, Scott, do you want to read the Bible with me? That is the only thing that kept me from going down that same track. And so what we have laying on our laps right now is the answer to all the strife and all the conflict. Now, if you're out there and you're living in strife and conflict, becoming a Christian isn't going to make those things instantly go away. What it's going to do is give you the right way to handle those things and prevent those things from happening in the future. And I pray with all my heart that if you're out there and you're in that boat, that you'll just pick your Bible up and read it.
Amen.
It's just that simple. And I don't know why unnecessarily the people that were in front of me at the time they were. I don't understand how all that works and why I said yes when somebody said, do you want to study? I don't know all that. I just know I said yes. And when I go home to my house, there is peace. It's a sanctuary for us to get away from the world. And I don't understand how people even survive. When I look at what people are living with, they go to work and there's strife and there's anger and there's lying and there's backbiting and there's all those things, and they go home and it's the same thing. There's no sanctuary for people, and I don't know how you survive that. Yeah. You know, I like being around my kids. I like being around my wife. We've got the same end goal. We've got all these things, but it's because we've simply decided to read the Bible and believe what it says. There's nothing. It's just that simple. And I wasn't sure if I wanted to bring that up or not, but when we talk about change, it does require change. But it doesn't cost us. It adds to us. And when we consider the price that was paid, if Jesus really died on that cross, and God really did send him here for that purpose, and all the things he went through, the price that was paid for us just to have the opportunity, no guarantee of salvation for each person, an opportunity to hear it or not, to believe it or not, that it's really what we've got to give up really doesn't cost us anything.
Right. And boy, so, what a wonderful thing. And boy, what a wonderful thing to opportunity there is. And that's why when you see the need for that change, I think in some ways that's why it has to, well, it's disappointing to people if we just play with it a little bit. In other words, if we just go to church,
yeah.
Or we just say, oh yeah, I believe there's God, you know, but it doesn't seem like he's doing much for me,
yeah.
Or he's doing much with my life. There, you know, there was this one time back when that I said a prayer. but I've not done anything since, and if God didn't change it, we need to include God in the picture, but yeah. we have got to do the thing that is required of us. And yeah. It goes back to that subject you've talked about before, by grace through faith. Both grace and faith has to be involved.
Yeah. And so let me look, I didn't mean to get preachy there, it just kind of came over me there. I'm sorry about that.
Me too.
I'm going to go to a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I actually have verse 6 through 16. I'm not going to read all of that. I think it'd be a little bit lengthy. But let's start looking in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. I apologize. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 12. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. and we impart this in words, not by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to them, and he is not able to understand them because they are not spiritually discerned. That's why I asked, we need to talk about the difference between a spiritually minded person and a worldly minded person. Verse 15, the spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? Then, but we have the mind of Christ. So let's talk about the mind of Christ and what the Spirit has done in these verses to understand how he helps us. First of all, we've already talked about the fact that when we read the Bible, we're reading word the mind of Christ revealed to us by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So we know exactly what God wants us to know. So when it said, but we have the mind of Christ, well, how do you think that all plays in together? And we haven't talked about, I may be putting him a little bit on the spot, but he's pretty sharp. He can handle it. how do we work through this, what the Spirit is doing? Because he says he's given us, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God.
Yes. Well, and be thankful for that. Number one, be thankful that God loves us enough and cares enough to communicate with us. He has freely given us what we need. Mm-hmm. And so verse 13 says, we impart, Paul I think is talking about him and those that are writing and speaking, inspired writers and speakers, we impart this in words taught, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. And so if those truths that are spiritual truths, we have to have a desire to know spiritual things. We have a desire to want to know those things. Because, well, I guess I'll reach out here in a certain sense that my guess, this is just my guess, but I'm guessing there's not a whole lot of folks that are not real interested in biblical things or spiritual things that are listening this morning.
That's probably true.
We probably don't have anyone that is necessarily that who has been up all night partying, who has hung over from the night that are listening to the program. Now, if we do, it's not that they're not welcome, but it's just they may flip to this station for just a moment and say, oh, what are those guys talking about? I don't want to hear it. But if that's the case, then that's the natural person that does not accept the things of the Spirit of God.
And if you are one of those people, don't change the station.
Yeah, don't change the station. We want you to listen.
Yes.
If we look at things just simply the way the world looks at things, we need to understand that, see that we're not going to understand very well the Scriptures. And we need to make sure that we have that spiritual desire to understand. But because verse 16 says, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. That's what we really want. We want to be able to understand how did Jesus think, what did Jesus say when he and tells us how to think.
Yeah. You know, time's flying. If you're just tuning in, and you might, this is Scott Mitchell with a show called Let the Bible Speak here with Shannon Schaefer. If you want to call in and make corrections or comments or whatever you want to do, it's 812-365-9864, 812-365-9864. I'm going to talk about a verse here that I've used a lot. Kind of goes to a process though. Galatians 2 and verse 20. And this goes to, when we go through this kind of, we sing a song called, I can't remember the name of it, but it starts out, all of self and none of thee, and the last verse says, none of self and all of thee. What's the name of it? You remember the name of that song? It doesn't matter. But it talks about, it's a four-verse song, talks about this process we go through with God, that it's none of thee, none of God and all of me, and then it goes to some of God and a lot of me, and then mostly God, and it ends up being all God and none of me. But what Galatians 2 verse 20 simply says is, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So how do we become a person that has been crucified with Christ, and lets Christ live in them, and is no longer them, but Christ is deciding what they do, where they go, and how they dress, and what language they use, and those sort of things. How do we become that person? From the person since I asked that, I sometimes try to figure out how I've gone from where I was to where I am, because it's like I've forgotten some of the processes I've gone through. I've tried to remember when I couldn't remember, I didn't know where a Bible verse was, and maybe I can't remember the frustration I felt, and that bothers me that I can't. Because I want to be patient with people, and I want to show them the same patience that other people showed me as I was going through this process of change and accepting and deciding to follow. So what do we tell somebody that's out there that feels like, I'm just lost and there's not much I can do about it? So how do we change that concept in people's minds, Shannon?
Well, I think probably the biggest change and the biggest challenge to change is ourself and selfishness to overcome. I think when Paul talks about, I have been crucified with Christ, whose will and who is it that needs to be crucified if we're going to serve Jesus Christ, and it's my will. I'm going to have to put myself to death, put myself aside in order to no longer live for myself and what I want and what I think's right, but I need to have Christ living in me, and realize that yes, I am continue living here. I'm continue to live in the flesh, but I live by faith in the Son of God. Well, what would motivate me to do that? What would motivate me to live and put my faith in someone I have not seen, in someone I hear of, and I read the Bible and I find out, his crucifixion. Well, what was it that brought about that crucifixion? It's because he loved me and gave himself for me. Mm-hmm. We come back to if nobody knows a Bible verse, they at least know a portion of probably John 3:16, yeah. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. The fact is that he is the Son of God, and he loved me enough to sacrifice mm-hmm. himself for me. And if I really would understand, dwell on, and think about, boy, if someone loved me that much, I should respond to that love. Mm-hmm. I should respond, and if it means I need to respond, what it does mean is I need to respond and to put myself aside and determine that I want to live like and think like and do like Jesus.
Yeah. Here's my challenge for people. Give it a shot. I mean, if you're out there and you're in a mess, even if you're claiming to be a Christian, and you know you aren't living like you're supposed to be living, what do you have to lose by giving it a shot? Maybe you'll get into this and decide, this isn't for me, and you'll walk away from him again. I don't know. But what's wrong with giving it a shot? And considering, think about a guy named... we had a preacher at Galena one time, and he would just say, come and see. Just come and see. Which is what some people said that in the Bible about Jesus. Well, is it him? Well, come and see. We don't know. Come and see. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you are unsure. Maybe you don't know if you can understand the Bible. Pick it up and try.
Yeah.
Pick it up and try. If you want to study, give me or Shannon a holler. My cell phone number is 812-620-4034. Give me a call. I'll study with you. We can do a correspondence course. We can sit down at the subway out there, Carefree, and study. I don't care how we do it or where we do it, but come and see.
Yeah, and then just do the very thing the program suggests. Let the Bible speak, because if you let the Bible speak, it's not that you're letting that speak because of some book that you don't know anything about where it comes from. You're letting Christ speak. You're letting God speak, because that's what we're depending on, is that God will tell me what I need to know. And if he loves me enough, he's going to communicate, and we can have the attitude that eunuch had is, how can I know unless someone teaches me?
So we're quite literally out of time here. Next week, there's a guy named Louis Taylor coming from Louisville, and we're going to talk next week about the need to spend enough time in the Word. We thought that would lead right in. Yeah, I think he preached a sermon a couple weeks ago on this kind of topic about Mary and Martha and Jesus and those sort of things. So he's going to come in next week and talk about some of these things. And so we We want to transition from this discussion about can we understand the word to yeah, we can, and so what do we need to do with it? And that's going to be our goal for next week. But if you've been listening, I appreciate your time very much. We have we've got about a minute left. We won't get into too much. I just want to tell you again, on May 18th at El Bethel, we're going to host a singing. It'll start at 7 o'clock, and we had 141 people show up to the last one. So my challenge for all of you is, let's beat 141. Let's do something even bigger. Blow the roof off. And come out and study with us. I mean, we're in John chapter 7 on Wednesday nights, and we meet at the little building over the hill there. We just sat down in what Dan Langford called kitchen table style, and we just sat down and we read the Bible and talk about it. On Sunday, I'm going to be talking about if you had been at Pentecost. You know, what would you have done if you'd been at Pentecost? And so that's what we're going to talk about this weekend, and come and see. Shandy, you have any closing thoughts before we've got about a minute left before we have to shut her down here?
I just want to say thanks, Scott, for letting me come back. Thanks for the opportunity, first just simply to talk and just simply to hear what does the Bible say, and just an encouragement. Folks, just pick up your Bible.
Yeah.
If you want someplace to start reading in one of the Gospels, maybe start reading in John, and then read in the book of Acts, and you'll find and hear a lot of good things from God, from God's Word.
That book, the book of John, is so cool because Jesus spent so much time trying to convince people, just come and see. I mean, he literally says, just give it a shot. Puts himself kind of on trial and explains who he is and why he is, and that you can believe in him because of all the witnesses. And it's a great book to study, and I encourage you to do that. But we'll sign off, and I appreciate your time and very much. And I again encourage you just to read the Bible, and just keep going with it, and don't give up. And this is just me, Scott Mitchell, encouraging you just to let the Bible speak.